I'm Stephen John Drew from the official GunnaGeek.com podcast, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out other geeky podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
Should we say no way to the Huawei? Does Apple have a ring of bugs? What is up with Adam and so much more? So grab your spoons because the soup is served. All right, yeah, welcome to Digital Soup. This is the only podcast that eats more burgers shirtless and drunk than David Hasselhoff. You know what I'm saying, right?
Oh, yeah. I know what you're saying.
Adam got it a little late there, it sounds like. All right. Well, my name is Jason, and joining me in the Digital Soup virtual studio is once again Adam and usually Dave. What's going on, guys?
Not much. Enjoying a little snowfall today.
Howdy, folks.
Little snowfall. You guys got some snow going on over there?
Oof. We got hit with about, I don't know, they said 8 to 12 inches falling today. I don't know exactly what we ended up with, but I spent my evening snow blowing and hanging some curtains in the house here. So, you know, fun times. Got to be domesticated. Yep,
definitely does sound like a lot of fun there. I mean, hanging curtains and shoveling. Well, the shoveling part doesn't sound good. But, hey, yeah, let me tell you what's going on over here in Ohio.
Yeah,
what's going on? Just about 2 days ago, we had 60-degree weather. And the last few days, we've actually had rain. We have no snow at all. So how much do you think you have total on the ground right now?
Oh, hard to say. I know areas where I was snow blowing today, you know, the snowblower cuts a nice, neat line right through there so you can kind of see. Now, it's compacted a little bit, but it was easily up over, it's over my knees, you know, mid-thigh, so I don't know, a couple feet at least laying on the ground.
Oh, jeez.
Right. I mean, spots where it's open and stuff, you know, where open fields, things like that, there's areas where you can see the taller grass sticking through, but most places...
Well, that's some really tall grass if it's going up over 2 feet.
Well, no, I mean, when it's wide open, the wind blows and, it, you know, it's not as heavy there. And the sun, when it is, it has been a little warmer a few days ago into last week. So it melted a little bit. But all in all, I'd say probably, you know, about knee deep, you know, and I'm 6'2". So knee deep, maybe just over my knees in most places. So
for sure.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Well, why don't we get this shindig started here? What is the first topic we want to cover today? And it better be a good one here to start out the show.
Well, it is because I'm kind of wondering about this. I saw this article and it made me scratch my head. It was over on Mashable, but apparently Microsoft has a new feature for what they're dubbing super powerful computers. Now, with the next big
like
user,
what you have, right?
Yeah, basically. I mean, this.
He's
I would say,
what I got? I got super powerful. I mean,
I'm not mining Bitcoins over here, but I'd say it's pretty powerful, you know, pretty decent machine. But in their new newest update that's coming here, looks like they're going to be introducing a brand new power scheme. A lot of people excited about it. They're calling it Ultimate Performance. So, you know, when you go in, you can choose if you want higher performance, more energy efficient, all of that. And essentially, for people who are using these high-end machines, they want to allow people to turn on this ultimate, what did I just say? Ultimate performance. Mm-hmm. And essentially, it's not going to be efficient at all when it comes to energy usage, things like that. But it's going to let you squeeze out every last bit of performance out of your machine. So kind of an interesting update that they're doing. I'm not... I've got an idea, you know, to me that maybe makes sense why they're doing it, but I don't know if you saw anything about this, what you thought about it, or...
Well, I didn't, but I do know about performance settings and stuff because I set them on the laptop, and most people set them on laptops to, you know, slow the battery drain.
Yep, yep.
But on desktops, man, I always have it on full bore. I didn't think anybody would even worry about, you know, energy savings or, you know, performance on a desktop. I mean, do you turn yours down?
No, but you know, by default, Windows leaves you on a balanced, what they consider balanced power plan. So it's kind of balancing, you know, performance with energy consumption. And that's something I never think to go in and look at. I should probably check my machines here. But, you know, anytime you're plugged in, I mean, I know there's going to be people that are going to be concerned about energy usage. They want to keep things efficient for their energy bills, for the environment and whatnot. But if you've got a high-end machine, you built that machine for a reason, you want to be able to use every last ounce of it. But let me throw this thought at you.
All right, I'll catch it.
We just, with the Meltdown Inspector big, well, I don't know what you call it, bugs or, you know, it wasn't hacked. What was that?
No, it was just, vulnerabilities.
Vulnerabilities.
Yeah,
so with that going on, remember what we heard was that the updates Intel was going to push out were going to fix it, supposedly, but it could slow machines by, what was it, 20 or 30%?
Yeah, something like that. I can't really remember here.
From what I remember hearing since that came out, that Intel released a patch that Microsoft had to go in then and fix. They basically had to strip out the Intel patch because it was breaking more than it was fixing, and then they're trying to fix it. And so basically, you've got everybody upset at Microsoft because, look, these Windows machines aren't working, blah, blah, blah. They're slowing down. It's not Microsoft's fault. This is all on Intel. But I wonder, with this new update, if this is Microsoft's way of saying, look, we understand that the patch is coming for all of these Intel chips out there and all of these things that are impacted that could see the slowdown. We're going to let you enable this high performance mode, which could help offset some of that slowdown as well. So they're not saying that. That's just purely our favorite speculation from my end. But I mean, it's something that I couldn't help but think of when I saw this, like, okay, here's Microsoft trying to clean up Intel's mess with these vulnerabilities and the slowdowns and everything else to let people still feel like they're getting the most out of their machine. Maybe I'm just reaching on that one, but it seemed to, you know, kind of click in my mind with the timing of all of this.
I just, you know, I really don't understand it. You know, I'm reading the article a little bit more here, trying to figure out what's going on here.
Right.
And, like I said, I mean, people do, it's just like on your cell phone, you put it on battery saver mode, so it's going to turn off some features. It's going to make it go a little bit slower. But there's no need for this on a desktop. I mean, you're always plugged into a power source and you always run at a full speed. So you would have never had it at a slower speed on the desktop. So you don't need any type of ultra balanced superpower version or anything like
that.
Right. It doesn't make much sense to me.
Giggity. I mean, it makes us sound like, what was that?
What? I didn't say
giggity goo.
Giggity goo. I guess that means he agrees.
Yeah.
the man of few words today.
Yeah, no kidding. No, I guess there's going to be people out there that eco-conscious and stuff. It makes us sound really bad, like, we don't care about that.
Burn up that. I suck all the energy I can. Yeah.
Let me use it all, every last drop. But I'm kind of with you. I spent quite a bit of money on my machine, and I want to be able to use it, you know?
You got 12 cores. How would you like it if, you know, you have those 12 cores and all of a sudden, you know, you're doing some video editing and it starts to slow down and you go and take a look at it and it only has 3 cores active because it put it into some type of energy saver mode.
Well, it kind of makes me think because I've never checked, you know, my settings. And if by default Windows puts them at a balanced mode or something like that, you know, the few times we've gone on and we've been playing Ark and different things like that, and my computer will be stuttering. I assume it was my internet, but it kind of makes me wonder, like, is it really, or was it just my computer trying to save energy so it's, you know, operating at less than ideal settings? So I'm going to have to check that out for sure.
Yeah, I know it does. I mean, do you know anything about that at all, Adam?
Helicopter, baseball.
Okay. So... Wow.
I guess we'll go back to Dave because I have no idea what that means.
Helicopter. Man, okay.
He's just being an idiot today. Oh, yeah, you're a funny guy, Adam.
I wonder. I don't even want to speculate what he got up to this weekend.
Well, here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking he had a little bit there probably to drink or something. What do you think? he was starting to do that, what was that, a few episodes ago. And,
yeah, he had a whopping 2 beers, I think.
Yeah, what are you up to, like 3 beers right now or something, Adam?
Yeah. It's yeah.
Oh, God, this guy is tanked.
Oh, come on now. Maybe it's late on a Sunday night. It's like 11:30 here, our time. And so maybe he's just tired. We'll give you the benefit of the doubt there, man. So, Jason,
move on to something else.
Yeah, we can do that. Jason, you had this story up here about the FBI, CIA, and NSA giving people warnings about cell phones. What's going on there?
Yeah, it was like acronym city here when I saw this article. Right? But we don't know much about Huawei here. It's not huge in the U.S. It is over in Asian countries. Mm-hmm. But it is moving over here, and you are seeing some other ones. And Dave and Adam, they know about this, but our listeners don't because I hadn't mentioned it yet. But I was planning on getting a new cell phone here, probably around income tax refund time. And I was actually looking at the Huawei, what was it called?
It was a
7X. I can't remember what it was, but it looked like a good phone and everything.
Yeah.
Well, then all of a sudden, this popped up here that the FBI, as Dave said, the FBI, the CIA, and the NSA are recommending that all Americans do not purchase Huawei or ZTE phones, which are two different Chinese companies.
Yeah.
And I guess they've been banned in the government for a while here. And now they're saying, you know, no U.S. citizen should have to do it. You know, should be purchasing these here. Let me just go over the article here. It says the heads of six major U.S. intelligence agencies have warned that American citizens shouldn't use products and services made by Chinese tech giants Huawei and ZTE. Yeah. According to a report from CNBC, the intelligence chiefs made the recommendation during a Senate Intelligence Committee hearing on this would have been last Tuesday. The group included the heads of the FBI, CIA, NSA, and directors of the National Intelligence. They're deeply concerned about risks of allowing any company or entity that is beholden to foreign governments that don't share our values to gain positions of power inside our telecommunication networks. Yeah. So think of it this way. Think of like Apple was a Chinese company. And look at how they have infiltrated the telecommunications, and they practically own, you know, the cell phones right now. They're the biggest. Now, yes, there are more Android phones out there, but they're made by hundreds of different companies. Apple is the only one that makes iPhones, and iPhones make up a prominent number, not as much as Android, but more than any single Android manufacturer, including Samsung. And Samsung, again, they're what are they? I think a South Korean company, correct?
I forget. That sounds right, but I'm not positive.
I believe so anyway. But Apple is, yes, their products are made over overseas, but it is a U.S. company. We don't know what's going on here. And I guess the U.S. government is warning citizens that there could be backdoors, there could be sniffers, there could be anything in these phones from these other countries, and they could be snooping on us, I guess is basically what it is. They can't guarantee that anything that we put into these phones made by these companies and possibly some other ones out there that are non-U.S. based are not grabbing our information. Because take a look at how much, what is it? Well, Russia is big. You know, they've been, yeah, I don't think there's any Russian phones, but it would be like vodka and, you know.
we need a Captain Poland to let us know.
Yeah, he could tell
us about
it.
Well, he's Poland. He's not Russian, but. Yeah, you know that.
I was gonna say he knows a lot about them though and stuff. Yeah, exactly.
Right,
Captain Poland knows about it.
The important thing here, I think, you know, people really should take a look at this article. We were reading from the article earlier that you were quoting here from The Verge. We've got that linked up in the show notes. And looking at it, I think that the very important thing to remember with this, as far as digital soup is concerned, we're not coming out and saying, "Look, we know they're spying on us," anything like that. Those agencies, the FBI, CIA, NSA, Director of National Intelligence, all those agencies listed, they don't have any actual proof that this is happening either. This is just their recommendation based on the fact that the Huawei company was founded by a former engineer of China's People's Liberation Army and has been described by U.S. politicians as effectively an arm of the Chinese government. Now, that's from the article here on The Verge.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically a precautionary warning that they're giving because it led to, like you said, the ban on Huawei being able to bid for U.S. government contracts all the way back in 2014. So it seems like they're just trying to maybe err on the side of caution here just in case, even though they don't have any firm proof. Now, just to play devil's advocate, there is some of those people out there, the conspiracy theorists or whatever you want to call them, maybe you don't even have to be a conspiracy theorist, that are looking at this feeling like, okay, here's this company that's huge worldwide. You know, they're one of the big smartphone names outside the US that a lot of people use, and they're trying to get into the American market, which of course is probably a huge, very, you know, big sector they want to get into.
Yeah, very lucrative for them.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so in doing that, it, you know, right, could be a situation where, yeah, they're trying to, you know, maybe block them from getting in, you know, to the apple pie. Sorry, I couldn't help the bad pun there, but either that, you know, taking a bite out of Apple or out of Samsung's profits, things like that. So in my opinion, though, I kind of think this is just kind of a cautionary, preemptive look. We're not going to actually ban anything for consumer electronics. We're not letting them into our government. Use it at your own risk, kind of a thing. I personally know, like, I've been trying to think as you were talking about this, at least three and maybe five people. I don't know if they're still using the Huawei phones, but as recently as a year and a half ago.
Oh, really?
Four or five different people personally that I know that were using different versions of these phones because they were able to get them at much better prices than what Apple and Samsung were offering. And so they were giving a lot of the functionality. And these people that I know, relatives and friends and people like that, they've loved them. They've said they've been pretty good, you know, as far as using them and features and cameras all that kind of stuff.
So. It was the Honor 7X was the one that I wanted to get. Weird name, but I did watch a lot of video reviews of it.
Yeah.
And it was a quality phone. I mean, all the reviews are positive.
Yeah. As long as you're okay with, you know, Chinese government stealing your info. But
no, not good.
Yeah, exactly. Not good at all. So, I mean,
Mr. Tech, Mr. Security guy here hasn't said anything about this story here yet. What do you know about this, man? What can you tell us?
But I see it in the notes now that you mention it.
So you never even read it?
Well, didn't idiot. He say, Adam, you had something going on. I thought he said anyways this week, didn't he, that he's got some kind of retreat or something like that happening earlier this week.
Oh, yeah, a men's retreat.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm hoping to see. He said he was taking pictures. Did you take any pictures out there? I don't know. Hopefully he did, but.
Probably, but what do you guys do at a men's retreat?
Oh, no. Like, come on, man.
What? he can't add anything to the show except comedy today.
He is not the tech guy anymore, the security guy. He is the comedic, what do they call that? I totally lost my...
He's the comic relief.
Comic relief, not comedic relief. Is that what you're thinking of? Yeah, that's what I was thinking of, yep. speaking of cell phones, though, Apple... this has been another bad week for Apple. Let's just say it that way. They have a new bug that has popped up in their phone software that it's so stupid to me that how does something like this happen? Basically, what this is, if you have or install the Indian language, so from India, I think, language characters.
No,
the
American Indian, dude.
Well, I'm guessing it's not that, but apparently if someone sends you a message via the regular text messaging app, Facebook Messenger, WhatsApp, Gmail, any of those services, using these specific Indian language characters, basically the phone can't read it. The receiving phone cannot read it. And so what happens is it basically locks you out of all of these messaging apps because the phone goes into essentially a loop cycle where it's trying to decode this character so you can read it in English or whatever your language of choice is on your phone. And your phone is, you know, essentially all those messaging apps are essentially bricked. You can't use them.
Ah.
There are some ways about that, you know, you can fix it that they're saying, and it sounds like they're working on a patch to this, but basically what they're saying, the only way you can try and fix this on your own is to go in, find wherever that message was in the app, you know, whatever app it was in, and see if you can somehow delete previous messages And we've got an article again linked up on The Verge here, and they kind of talk about how this, how you can try and go back and do it on your own. But looks like in the upcoming iOS security update, they say they're planning to fix the problem with iOS 11.3 this spring. So just beware of that. And it sounds like this is one you may not even ever see it coming. You know, someone just randomly send you something and boom, you have no messenger apps or programs on your phone anymore.
Nice. Boy, horrible. It just seems like, you know, when it starts raining, it starts pouring, right? For
right.
Apple especially. Yeah. I mean, now what's this we hear about some white rings of death?
Yeah. Do you see this?
I saw the images. Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah.
And how much bass is coming out of these bad boys? And what we're talking about here is the Apple HomePod.
Yeah.
I guess you set it on top of a like a wood surface, et cetera, without anything underneath it. And over time, that bass will actually wear it.
Well, and by over time, they're talking about within 20 minutes of use, people are reporting seeing this.
Wow.
And it's absurd. And you know, the part that really kind of irritated me with this was when Apple comes out and says, well, your only options, you can try and clean it, they should fade over time, but if that doesn't work, you basically, all you got to do is just, you know, refinish your furniture. That's their solution.
I did see some people online, they were talking about you know, different types of things they were putting under it, like mouse pads and different things like that to help protect the surface. Okay, enough bass there, Adam.
Listen to him jamming out in the background. we like the music bit, but
yeah, we talk about bass, and he's like, boom, boom, boom.
I don't have a HomePod, Adam, so you're not going to make any white rings on my desk.
Right.
Adam makes white rings all the time. He's at that men's retreat, so there's got to be some white rings going on.
Oh, that's horrible. Horrible, man. But yeah, they literally said that your marks can be remedied by wiping the wood down with a soft, damp, or dry cloth. But failing that, the surface will need to be cleaned or resurfaced. I cannot imagine. Can you, someone buying these, they're going to fill up their home with these new Apple HomePods. And they've got it on these expensive end tables or, you know, whatever else it might be, or dressers.
Well, it has to be expensive end tables because these things are like $300 a pop.
Right. Or even
it's
worse.
It's not like a $50 Echo Dot like I have.
Right. I mean, think about this. Maybe it's not even an expensive table. It's some, you know, piece of furniture like a coffee table or a, you know, a cabinet or something you've got that's like a family heirloom that's been around for centuries. It's got the old original finish on it and it's just beautiful. And then stupid Apple, you know, sticks a white ring on it that you're not going to get rid of unless you basically, you know, refinish the whole thing. I mean, man, oh man, Apple.
Well, I usually like to set my little speaker assistants, whatever you want to call these things, I like to usually set them on the very last picture I've ever had of my great-great-grandmother.
Yeah,
do you think
right.
that would be okay? Would that be fine?
Yeah,
there wouldn't be any issues or anything.
It would
there?
Put a halo on her, maybe.
Yeah, well, I'm sure she already has a halo.
Right, right. It'd just be photographic evidence. Right. Yeah, this was a story that kind of I saw that and I thought, yep, I don't have any home automation in my house right now, but I thought if I'm going to do it, this definitely solidified it for me where I'll go with the Amazon product, the Echo Dots, the Echo, whatever it is. Cause not only can you find them for much cheaper, but they're going to give you such great functionality. And to the best of my knowledge, I haven't heard any reports of Amazon Echo devices leaving rings or spots or marks on any furniture. So,
and here's probably the reason why is the first and foremost, the HomePod is a music player. They're not setting this up as a
home assistant.
A home assistant like the Google Home and the you know, the Echo series are. This is basically a speaker thing. They say Siri is very handicapped on this. If you want it. There's a lot of people that use it, and I'm going to give you an example here from what I've heard some people do. They have an Echo Dot in their kitchen. And the reason why they do it is because they can quickly ask for recipes. Yep. They can quickly get conversions. Hey, yeah. They'll go something like, you know, hey, virtual assistant, how many cups are in a quart? You know, if you don't know that, it'll instantly tell you. Now, the HomePods...
hey. Not to interrupt you, but do you think, I don't want to interrupt you, but do you think Adam uses his Echo in the kitchen to say, hey, a word, I don't want to say and trigger it for anyone, but how many cans of beer are in a gallon?
He agrees. How many cans of beer are in a gallon? Let's see if she knows. Alexa.
12 ounces.
How many cans of beer are in a gallon?
I'm going to say just under...
She said she doesn't... She's not sure.
Just under three... Well, what's a gallon? 32? No. 64? No. A can is 12 ounces.
There's,
so how many...
There's 4 quarts...
Yeah, just ask her how many ounces in a gallon.
Ask her
how many ounces in a gallon.
Alexa, how many ounces are in a gallon?
1 gallon equals 128 fluid ounces.
Yeah, so it'd be about 10, just over 10 and a half cans of beer at 12-ounce cans.
What do you think? Do you think Adam has definitely gone through that much?
Nah, I think he's messing with us tonight is what I think.
For sure.
Oh, he said he did.
I knew
All right, Adam. Hey, I wanted to jump back here to the arrogance of Apple.
Yeah.
Where they were saying, maybe polish it a little bit, clean it off, maybe just resurface all of your stuff. Think if Microsoft with their Xbox One X, if all of a sudden, you know, they released it and everybody kept saying that they were getting electrical shocks through the controller and Microsoft comes out and goes, well, just wear some gloves.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, it's you don't do that, Apple. Apple, you first and foremost, you're going to apologize for the air that you created, you know, the circumstance that you've created, and then you're going to reimburse everybody for, you know, whatever it takes to fix it. You don't just go, well, you know, just buff it up a little bit there, you'll be good.
Well, and these are, what did they say, 300 and something?
$299. Yeah, it's over 300 for these HomePods.
And so these are basically competing more with a Sonos product than the speakers.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes.
So I don't know. I look at it, and I know if you really
and
love
I've never heard
sound,
of a Sonos doing this either, have you?
I haven't, but I guess looking at the article, some people have said it has happened, not commonly, and it's not a common thing, but seems to be that this is, well, actually, you know what? It says in the article, they're saying at least one person has discovered similar marks from the feet of the Sonos One, but that's one person out of how many thousands that own it. So yeah, probably not really happening. I look at this though, and I think if I'm going to buy a home audio system, that's basically a speaker. Your phone is Bluetooth compatible. You can, for me personally, I would set it up and I'd have Spotify or my podcast player, whatever I'm running, and I would push that to a Bluetooth enabled speaker, receiver, something like that. That's going to be there for, you know, you could go high end like Bose or even just any number of kind of the mid range Bluetooth speakers are going to give you some pretty good audio at a fraction of that price. So this to me seems like just a product Apple should have never really even dealt with. And let alone now with this stuff happening, they, like you say, just refund everyone, close up shop on the HomePod and say,
well, no, I didn't say that.
I
meant cover them for any repairs that
I agree. Get everyone taken care of, reimburse them for everything. And then I think the next step personally, Apple, stick with the computers and the phones and tablets and those things you do well. If Siri's handicapped on there, you're not competing in the home automation. And you know what? Just forget about the whole home stereo system because you don't need it, especially if you can't get it right. Salty today, I'm finding. I'm a little salty.
I can see that.
Jeez.
Well, I was going to say, you know, they see Amazon and they see Google coming out with these and they're making money at it. They, you know, they want a little piece of the pie too.
Well, that's fine. Put out a version of this that's going to compete and not have Siri hamstrung on it and let her fully integrate and try and get into that market with your phone and the Apple products in your home and come out with a $100 or $50 Echo Dot competitor or, you know, the Google Home Mini, something like that.
Apple will never release something that cheap. No. We know that.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. Let's move on to something else.
Yeah, sounds good, man.
All right, well, hey, let me cover the next story here because I did put it in here.
Yeah, I don't know anything about this one.
Pretty dang interesting here. Now, Steam has completely removed one game developer's games, and I guess they only had like two games on Steam, but completely removed their account and both of their games off of Steam because, are you ready for this?
Yeah.
They were manipulating the game reviews.
What?
Seriously, the CEO of the company. Now, the company's name is Insel, or Insel. I'm not sure how you pronounce it. It's I-N-S-E-L, okay. Games. And they just had a new game come out recently. I believe it was called Wild Buster, but they do have some other games on there. Well, when this game was released, it was Wild Buster Heroes of Titan. When it was released, there was a leaked email that went out from the CEO to all of its employees saying, first, I need all of you to buy the game and then put in for your refund, which, you know, that I guess is that's not that big a thing. Yes, it's going to get them some sales, but, you know, technically they're not getting any sales because they're reimbursing their employees.
Yeah, that's true.
Whoever bought the game. But here's the thing. They also said, now go in to Steam and give great reviews for the game. Ugh. So there is where it is. They're manipulating the game because they you have all the staff, you know, the developers, you know, the marketing people, et cetera, going in and making fake reviews saying how great this game is. And a lot of people base what they buy on Steam by the reviews.
Oh, because
other players are not going to say a crap game is awesome.
Exactly.
Now, I don't know if this game is crap or not, but it's very stupid for the CEO to actually release anything in print or digitally or whatever, which he did an email here, which somebody in the organization leaked out to the world. You know, if you're a smart CEO, you're going to have a little conference with all of your employees. And you're going to confiscate all phones before they enter the conference. And then you go ahead and tell them the plan and then go from there.
Right.
But I'm sure this is not the only company that's ever done that, by the way. I'm sure there's a lot, especially the smaller companies that have done this. I don't think you're going to see like an EA, you know, say, all right, now Madden 27's out. Now go out there and see how great it is.
Right. Go out there and buy 47,000 loot boxes. Yeah. No, I saw this now that you're talking about it, and I saw the headline, didn't know what it was about, but hearing this, what you're telling me is happening here, reminds me of when it's very popular. I run into it a lot on the photography side of things, where Instagram and Twitter, right now the big one is with Instagram people doing it, but it's happened with Twitter. It's happened to a degree, I think, with Facebook, but mostly Instagram and Twitter, where people will essentially go out and buy followers, buy likes, buy, you know, comments, and you have bots that do this stuff. And you can, once you start seeing them, you can pick them out a mile away that, okay, this is just someone hiring a bot trying to get you, you know, they follow you, so you follow them, and then it unfollows you 10 minutes later.
Right.
Yeah. It's just dumb. And I hate this whole idea of let's just pay to make it look like we have a big following, because especially when people are looking at your game and your statistics, your numbers and stuff like that, and saying, well, this one is highly reviewed. This one's supposed to be great. Oh, look, it's selling a lot. It's on the top of the charts, whatever it is. And then they go and buy it, and it's just going to continue. People are going to continue to buy it and buy it until enough word spreads that, look, this game is crap. Why do you like this? But honestly, there's so many people, I think, that play games and do stuff like this where they don't think for themselves. They don't play a game and say, I bought this. I kind of wish I wouldn't have. It kind of stinks. They're not, you know, so many people are going to see something ranked at the top of a chart and buy it and just want to be part of the, you know, what they think is this, you know, community of people that just, oh, we're all fans of Battlefront, or, oh, we all do this, or, you know, of course I play that game. It's one of the top games out there. And they just want to feel like they fit in. And it's sickening to me that companies are doing this, let alone individual people. But we need some good news this week.
Yeah. Do we ever have any good news?
I've got some stories later that I think are good, but I don't know.
What time is it? Do you know?
Oh, yeah.
It's time for a geek off.
Oh, yeah.
Say, wow, I didn't even get right. the werewolf.
I had to do it because Adam was like sleeping or something, so I had to throw it in there.
All right, so this week I'm going to throw a question at you guys. I don't know if Adam's going to bother answering even, but all right. So here's what I want to know. We all run into it. Everyone's busy. Kids got stuff going on. Work needs it. You have a million things to do. So when you find yourself in a situation where you kind of need to be in multiple places at one time, or maybe for one circumstance or another, you just can't be somewhere when you really need to be there, would you rather just miss out entirely and not be there, not participate? Or would you rather be replaced by some version of like AI or another, like a proxy version of yourself that could just fill in your absence?
What
do you think would be better?
Sort of either like a clone or an android,
right,
or something.
Something
in your place.
Exactly. So, you know, something could just step in for you. Like, say you've got a meeting at work that you can't miss, but your kid has also got a soccer game and, you know, you really need to record your podcast.
Do I go to work or do I see the soccer game?
Well, if it was me, I'd send the clone to work.
That's what I was saying. That's what I would rather do too.
Yeah. Now, or would you rather just like, yeah, would you just call in sick and go see the soccer game? Let's say it's something else. Let's say, we do a podcast, right? So let's say
sometimes,
you know, you really were wanting to spend some quality time with your wife or something like that. And you really, you know, you knew that the schedule is there. You really wanted to be able to record the podcast this week, but, you know, chaotic things happen. Maybe your internet goes down. Who knows, right? And so you can't record. So would you rather just miss out and kind of, you know, not be able to record or not be able to do those other things you need to do, or just hang out with your wife? Or maybe you've got a clone or some kind of AI computer program, something else could just fill in.
Well, I wouldn't want to miss out. So I would say I definitely throw that off the table, you know, onto the floor, probably stomp on a little bit, watch its guts and its brains all over the place.
Okay. But
is that a little extreme there?
A little bit.
I would want to do the more enjoyable thing myself and send my clone to the thing that I didn't want to do.
Yeah.
So I would send my clone off to work, and then I would go and do something with the family. That's what I would do. So I'm going to go with I would not want to miss it. I'd want to take part in it.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I thought of this because I don't know. I was looking at something and I saw it pop up. It was a little not quite a GIF, but a little 10-second movie clip of the old Michael Keaton movie Multiplicity.
Oh yeah,
I remember. And I just had seen that the other day, and I thought, this would be maybe a fun topic. But that was a great movie. But as we know, there it goes horribly wrong. So that's the risk you would run, I guess.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I've seen that movie. Didn't they have to like kill off all the clones or something?
Well, every time he made a new one, it got dumber and dumber.
Oh, that's what it was.
Okay. Yeah, so like the very first clone that was there was pretty much like him, maybe a little more edgy or whatever, and it makes a move on his wife and, you know, stuff like that, if I remember right. But as each one goes on, I forget how many there were, but I know the one of the final ones was, I mean, dumb as a box of rocks. It was like the cartoon version of a... Yeah, exactly. One of those kind of dweeb guys. Yeah. So I should rewatch it. I used to like that movie when I was younger, but I don't remember if they killed him off or what they did. I'm gonna have to rewatch that.
I can't remember either. Maybe it'll have to be a super review someday. What do you think?
Could be. Well, I've got the pick coming up next. So, you know, speaking of super reviews, might as well tease this right here. I had it in the notes for later on, but Super Friends, make sure and tune in. We're getting set to record at the end of this week that you're listening to. The next Super Reviews is up. Adam has picked Edge of Tomorrow for us to watch and then kind of give our thoughts about. Now, we are working on fine-tuning these Super Reviews to get it a little more interesting for you guys as listeners. So we hope you're having fun with them, but we don't want to make it just a recap of a movie. We're trying to approach it now with, you know, the idea in mind that you guys have seen the movie. That's why you're listening. So we're just going to talk about the fun stuff, the cool stuff we liked, maybe it's visuals, whatever it is. So for keep sure. It conversational. Yeah. Like we're just hanging out. So, but that should come out all things can, you know, go well schedule wise sometime right at the beginning of March, they're the first, second, third, somewhere that weekend. So that's coming up very soon. So next Super Reviews, Edge of Tomorrow, and
cool.
See what
hey,
Adam
you know, we didn't
that.
Find out what Adam thought, what he would do.
Yeah.
For the Geek Off.
I know he was just laughing at it, but.
Yeah. So Adam, what would you, rather have, would you rather have a clone that could do something for you, take one of the scenarios in Dave's little Geek Off here, or would you rather just miss out? What do you think?
I don't say words good.
Okay. So what exactly does that mean? Are you not even going to try or what?
Giggity goo.
Oh, man.
Okay. So why don't we move on? What do we have next, Dave?
Well, a little follow-up from last week, was it? When we talked about the Nintendo Switch getting hacked and the group Fail Overflow had, you know, stated that they were able to hack it and install Linux onto it. And I guess a lot of people called them out, didn't believe them. And so now they've released a follow-up video to that showing the Nintendo Switch running a fully graphical interface, interfaced version of Linux right on the Switch. So apparently they're showing it working and everything else. So a little bit, you know, a little bit more in that story there. And it's kind of now looking like just a matter of time to see how much this thing's going to get hacked. They're still not really saying how they did it. It looks like they plugged something into one of the ports where the Joy-Cons are on the side. So that hasn't really come out, but just a little follow-up there. I thought it was kind of interesting on the gaming side of things that they are continuing to show that they're doing some pretty crazy stuff with that Switch. So
mm-hmm. I don't know exactly why you'd want to do this. I mean, it's a small screen. You're not going to... Yep. You're not really going to be able to do much of anything on
yeah, but
it. It's
you know
just
what I see?
Like, hey, look, I can do it. That's basically all.
But
I
when
can.
You look at it, the screen is bigger than your phone, and it's got a little keyboard that they show in the one image, yeah. And there is a video there. It's almost like they're using it like, you know, text messaging, you know, typing on your phone, something like that.
Yeah, it looks like that's Google Chrome on the screen.
Yep. Is it Google Chrome or? Yeah, it must be.
Yeah, it looks like it. The tabs look like Chrome, anyways.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you could convert your Switch and do something with it so you could just make it a portable web browser, well...
Why can't we just play Mario, people?
Yeah,
why do we have to put Linux on there? I mean, I like Linux. I love Linux. My laptop right now is running Ubuntu 17.1 with the new GNOME interface, which is something to get used to here because, you know, I was so used to the Unity interface from all the previous, you know, Ubuntus. But, you know... That's where you need Ubuntu. That's where you need Linux is on a computer. You don't need it on this. I mean, I'm going to take my Apple Watch, which I don't have, but I'm going to take my Apple Watch, and I'm going to put Linux on it. Why?
Right. You know, I think this really is just a case of they're doing it just to prove they can. You know, it's probably something more. I don't know much about the, you know, world of hacking and how these people work, but looking at it, mm-hmm. kind of from almost a marketing standpoint, if you think about it, if they're trying to gain a reputation as hackers to say, look what we did, this is probably the equivalent of a portfolio piece to say, yeah, we were able to do this on the Switch. And I know they say in this article, you know, one of my thoughts and concerns I had when we talked about this the last time was about, is it going to allow more and more, you know, pirating of games and things like that. They're saying it actually probably won't in the long run be too big of a you know, problem with this just because most developers that are going to do this stuff in homebrew developing stuff like that, they're going to want a development that'll run natively on the Switch OS and everything else.
Well, Linux will not be the reason why it gets cracked and
it just might
backup
let the
games work.
The portal in.
Possibly.
Yeah. And so it's one of those things, just an interesting follow-up and, you know, kind of, it's one of, like I say, more of a portfolio piece, I think, you know, from thinking of it in terms of a photographer where, you set up this massive shoot and everything else and no real reason to, just to practice and just to flex your muscles and add a new piece to your portfolio and say, yeah, look what I can do, you know, to maybe future people that are looking to hire. And I don't know if people hire hackers. I don't know how that works, but, you know, just kind of an interesting follow-up. But you know what else is cool?
What?
YouTube Red released a new trailer. It's a teaser trailer. It's been 30 years in the making, a standoff, a fight about to happen. You see this? You remember Cobra Kai?
The crane?
Yeah, crane kick. Yep. So apparently...
Well, now, what exactly is Cobra Kai?
Cobra Kai is the martial arts studio that the,
oh, okay, that's what
the bad guys, I guess you would say, in the Karate Kid fight for. And so okay. You're going to see a brand new, it's called Cobra Kai. It's a brand new series on YouTube Red coming out. They've just released a trailer that's going to feature Daniel and what was his name? The guy he fights against. I forget.
Johnny.
Johnny. Yeah. They're going to square off. And in the trailer, they're actually squaring off in the dojo. And looks like this is going to be following their kids. Their kids basically are going to have a confrontation of some sort. We don't know a ton about the storyline or anything yet, but I thought it was pretty cool that we're going to see a new version of the Karate Kid that's going to have our favorite characters in it, but they're now the dads. They're the old guys in the film. They're training their kids.
Can I tell you, though, the first thing I thought of when I watched this teaser trailer is I was thinking of Dundee. Are we getting, are we getting scammed here again?
Yeah, I agree with that.
First thing I thought of.
After we got duped on that one, it makes me leery of any trailer I've watched lately. But if this is legit, which everything I've seen seems to show it is, but I'm excited about this because I love the Karate Kid franchise. As a kid growing up, I watched them to death. But even the one with Hilary Swank, I forget the title of that one, but it was like the fourth one. Even that one I enjoyed a lot as a kid, and it's not a great movie, but I just love the storylines and martial arts side of it and everything else. So some pretty cool news.
Give me the music.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Okay. All right. Man. I don't know.
You know what, Adam? When you bust in here, you can actually say something about the story we're talking about. You don't have to. Dave, can you drive down to, I'm not going to say where he lives, but can you drive the 3 hours or so and go check on him?
Well, I would, but we've got 8 to 12 inches of snow on the roads right now. I don't know if I'd get there in one piece, but we'll keep tabs on him. I'm guessing, Adam, you're just probably a little tired and out of it after a long weekend here, but Jason, well, you saw the news also. Speaking of movies, our favorite short film that we've talked about before.
It really is my favorite, too. I'm not. Yeah, Dave's not joking here. I love this thing.
The film Kung Fury is getting the feature-length film treatment. You see this story?
And until you put this in here, I had heard nothing about it. I can't believe I heard not a thing about it. For those of you who don't know what this is, this was actually a crowdfunded little homage to like 80s action type movies. It was it was a hilarious thing. It was called Kung Fury. You can watch it in its entirety free on YouTube
and on Netflix.
Yeah, and on Netflix, but you have to subscribe to Netflix, so it's not really free.
True. But most people, if you have a Netflix, you can find it there too. So anyways, I interrupted you.
It's an awesome and very stupid, but very awesome. Basically what it is you're following this cop, and this cop talks like, oh geez, what does he talk like? He talks like a gumshoe from like a 20s cop thriller TV show thing. It's funny. Basically what happens is he's chasing this bad guy down this alley. And he sees his partner killed by this bad guy, but he gets, I believe, it's been a while since I've seen it. Doesn't he get struck by lightning and bit by a cobra at the same time?
Yeah, he gets kind of superpower or something like that. Yeah.
So, yeah, then he gets like these superpowers, and it's hilarious. You have to watch this. I love this thing. And now it's getting a full-length movie. And there's some big names that are attached to this.
Yeah, this is the crazy
Arnold
part.
Schwarzenegger? Are you serious?
Yeah.
I don't know what part he's going to be playing in it. Michael Fassbender's in it.
I thought Schwarzenegger was going to be like the president or something.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Now, quickly, you refresh me. Michael Fassbender, where have I seen this guy at before?
You've seen him in X-Men.
Oh, he played the young, not Magneto, the young Professor X.
Yeah, no,
right?
he's Magneto.
Oh, he is Magneto.
Yeah, he's
okay.
The young Magneto. He's been in a lot of stuff. He was in a movie, Snowpiercer. He was in Prometheus.
Oh, was that the train?
Snowpiercer? Was it Snowpiercer he was in? I'm looking right now. I know he's been in the Alien Covenant videos, okay. Some of those, in Prometheus. He played the android or whatever, I believe. I could be wrong on that. I haven't seen those, but I thought that's what I saw. He was the star of the Assassin's Creed movie. Steve Jobs, he was in. He's been in a ton of movies here. So no, he wasn't in. I don't see anything Snowpiercer. I thought that. Oh, the Snowman. That's what I was thinking of.
Okay, that was a horror movie, if I remember right.
Yep.
Can I just read the synopsis for this feature-length film real fast?
Yeah, go for it.
All right. Now this is set in 1985, and it says right here, the best year ever. Miami is kept safe under the watchful eye of Kung Fury, the greatest damn cop of all time. His Thunder Cops are the ultimate police force assembled from across history to defeat the villainous Kung Fuhrer, Adolf Hitler.
Yeah.
There's Hitler. Okay.
Well, he was in the original too.
Yep, he was in it. Now, after the tragic death of one of their members causes the group to disband, a mysterious villain emerges from the shadows to aid in Fuhrer's quest to attain the ultimate weapon. Kung Fury must travel through space and time to save his friends, defeat the Miami Kung Fu Academy, and defeat evil once and for all.
Yeah.
Now, this is hilarious because he goes back in time to dinosaurs in the original short.
Oh,
back in
Vikings.
Time to dinosaurs. There's a huge Thor that falls out of the sky, if I remember right.
Yeah. Yep.
There's just all kinds of crazy stuff.
I can't wait. This is going to be nuts.
It is. And we definitely have to link Kung Fury on YouTube so everybody can watch this. I mean, your life will be so much better once you've watched this. It's quite hilarious.
Yep.
There's just so many different crazy aspects to it. I mean, the battle at the beginning with the arcade machine is just hilarious.
Well, wasn't his partner, one of the cop partners, wasn't he like a rhino or
Triceratops.
Something? Triceratops, that's what it was.
Yep,
yeah.
He's Triceracop is
Triceracop.
His name.
Triceracop.
It's a humanoid with a Triceratop head.
Yeah, now think of this.
It's hilarious.
What if this series were to cross over into the Will Smith Bright universe with orcs and...
I want to also mention that there, and I don't know if you've seen it, Dave, but when I was doing a search on it on YouTube, is a David Hasselhoff music video. He sings a song for this, and you have to watch this. If you haven't watched it, watch it, and we'll link it in the show notes also. It is hilarious. So, I mean, we're getting so much Kung Fury goodness coming soon.
One of those movies that really is just, I mean, it's not going to win an Oscar. It's ridiculous, but it is the perfect example of, you know what? Let me just go check out a movie for a while because I don't want to think about anything. I just want to sit back and have some nonsensical fun. I mean, that's all you can really say about Kung Fury. It's
And we talked about that aspect right there, Dave. There's a lot of times you want to do that. And another set of movies that you have not watched that Adam and I say you need to watch is that Pacific Rim.
Yeah, I do need to watch that.
That is another one of those, you know, don't even worry about that. You know, it's just ridiculous. Just watch it and enjoy it. It is a lot of fun.
Right. I need to check those out. I haven't gotten around to it yet.
Yeah, there's so much you need to watch.
Yeah, I know.
It's funny. Adam and I keep talking about movies, and you're like, oh, I got to see that one, too. Oh,
well, you know what happened is, you guys know this. Listeners probably don't, but when I was in college and in a little bit before college and just after, I actually worked at a movie theater. I was an assistant manager at our local movie theater for a number of years. And before that, I was an usher there and things like this. So I spent a lot of time working in a movie theater, and I loved it. But I would see everything that came out, good, bad, didn't matter, as a manager, part of my job was to put the film together, which meant once it was together, I had to watch it, make sure it was all correct. And so I would literally watch every single movie that came through our theater. It was a small theater, but still saw everything. And I got to a point where I really hit this movie burnout. Everything just felt so formulaic and so the same. There was nothing, very few movies would, you know, surprise me with a twist or anything. That's not to say I didn't enjoy movies, but I kind of just got burned out. So when I left there and went into my, you know, finished college and went into my field of work that I'm in now, I kind of got to this point where I just wasn't watching much because I had other interests. I had gotten into photography and I play in a band. I do all this stuff and just hadn't really gotten into it. And there's so many movies from about, you know, maybe early to mid 2000s through, I'd say maybe 3 years ago or so, that I just, I didn't see in so many really good movies. And then of course, with the rise of Netflix and Hulu and Amazon, all this stuff, I started getting into a lot of these TV series that I hadn't really watched either. And then that takes up so much time as you're trying to get caught up. There's so many movies I just missed. And that's why I'm loving these super reviews that we're doing, because it lets me, I have a reason where it's like, I have to watch this. It's kind of like my homework assignment. So I love doing that. So
yeah. And I mean, we just love watching movies.
Yep. Hey, just quick, was the David Hasselhoff song you were talking about, I'm just going to link that up for show notes. Was that called the True Survivor?
Yep, I already got it linked.
Okay, perfect, perfect. So
that's how fast I am.
There was another.
They call me the linker.
The linker. I like it. Legend of Zelda? No, we won't go there.
That's Link. Come on now.
Yeah, you are Link. No, there was another new trailer out this week though,
and I have not watched this one yet. But I did see that it was trending. Four, yeah, our fan dick four or whatever you call
fan,
it.
No, fan four stick.
Oh, that's what it was.
Yeah. No, Incredibles 2 gets a new teaser trailer, and it's been a long time in the making. I won't talk about it too much because most people know what the Incredibles are. And the reason I joke about Fantastic Four is that a lot of people say the Incredibles movie was the Fantastic Four movie that we never got, because they did this family superhero dynamic that should be there for the Fantastic Four, you know, movies and things like that. They did it so well. And so the original Incredibles was amazing, so much fun. And now the sequel is coming. Looks like this time Mr. Incredible's playing Mr. Mom, while his wife, Elastigirl, is the one out being the public superhero. Of course, they've got the baby that's got all the crazy powers that it doesn't control. It, like, it sneezes and turns into a dragon or shoots, you know, laser beams. And a lot of fun stuff happening. A lot of your favorite characters will be back. So keep an eye out for that, because it, for most people that are into these, you know, comic book movies and everything else, it's of course family friendly. It's a Pixar movie, but it's such a good comic book story. So.
Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. I mean, even if I didn't have three daughters, I probably would have still seen this movie.
Perfect.
Because, you know, watching the trailers and stuff, you know, I knew it was going to be and I'm not big into cartoons. I'm just going to go there. Animations, whatever you want to call them. But this was actually really well done. And another set of animated movies that I really liked was the, what was the one with the evil guy and the kids? And there's been like three of them.
Was it animated?
And it has those little yellow guys that run around.
Oh, the Minions. Despicable Me.
Yeah, Despicable Me.
Yeah.
Didn't all three of those movies release after the first Incredibles?
Oh, yeah,
Yeah, so it's been a lot. Like you said, it's been a long time coming. I don't know why they've been dragging their feet on such a great, you know, property here. They should have been capitalizing on this a long time ago.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the holdup was. I know Pixar was putting out a lot of other films, but the first Incredibles movie was out in 2004, and this one, the sequel, looks to hit this summer, June 15th, 2018. So, you know, we're looking at, what is that, 14 years?
Jeez.
Right? Yeah. So definitely, it's kind of cool, though, because since it's animated, they don't have to worry about the characters getting old. You know, so it's going to take place, like, literally timeline of the movie universe really shortly after the last
Wow,
one,
Dave.
So.
Sorry to interrupt here, but you said that was 2004, right?
I think so, yeah.
The very first Despicable Me came out in 2010.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And they've released three of them.
Yeah, that's pretty recent. I mean, I don't know what else. Pixar's put out a ton of stuff since 2004. I mean, tons and tons of stuff. But I know they had, didn't they do the sequel to Finding Nemo was what, Finding Dory or?
I never saw that.
I don't know. I can't remember. But they've had a ton of big movies. Well, they finished up Toy Story series after the first Incredibles as well. Jeez. And honestly, though, I wonder, the Incredibles is awesome. And it's a amazing franchise they can have now that they're having multiple movies. But I wonder, outside of the comic book geeks and fans, I wonder how much of it is just a situation where they didn't know if they'd have enough response to it. But now they're looking at it and, you know, they should have seen it with Marvel doing stuff that, yeah, people love superhero movies. But maybe that's also why they held back, because Pixar is Disney, right?
Yeah, Disney, Pixar, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Question is. So is the Minions movies, Despicable Me's, is that Pixar Disney too?
I don't know about that. You'd have to look that up. But
because I was going to say crossover, Incredibles, yeah, right? You know, and what's his name? Crude can go full on evil and the Incredibles fight him.
Right. That looks awesome. To be Universal Pictures is Despicable Me.
So. Yeah, okay. So there'll be no crossover, ladies and gentlemen. Apologize.
But I wonder, though, with Disney Pixar, if that's maybe part of the reason they've held off, is because they've been focusing all of their geeky movie content, if you want to call it that, over on the new Marvel movies that have been coming out multiple times a year, like Black Panther, which is out right now and crushing it in the box office. So,
for sure.
Right. Do you guys get a chance to see it at all? Or
I have not, no.
Oh, okay. Well, we know Adam didn't. He was at his retreat all weekend here.
His men's retreat.
Yeah. I did go see it opening night on Friday night, went to the late show, and I have to say it was excellent. Very well done. Visually, just beautiful. I mean, the scenes, whether you were in these high-tech looking areas or, you know, more in Africa, in nature, and in different things happening, just beautifully visually, I can't even talk, beautifully shot, so, you know, just visually perfect, and acting fantastic. One of the best villains I've seen in a Marvel movie. I don't want to say too much and spoil it for you guys, but really, really fantastic. Do recommend you check it out. I don't know, I have a hard time, people ask, oh, is it a
villain we know?
Yeah. Michael B. Jordan.
I mean the character. Is it a villain that I would know if I don't read a comic?
Probably not.
Has he shown up in any of the other?
Okay. No, probably not. But I will say this. It doesn't really matter because you don't really need to. They do a really good job explaining it and giving you this villain's backstory. But it's not in such a way where it's, you know, over the head, you know, here's the origin story of this villain. You know, here's Uncle Ben getting killed again. Here's Batman's parents. It's, you know, it's not that kind of a thing where they're showing Batman's parents dying over and over. It's something that the story just
getting bit by a spider over and over.
Right. Exactly. The story is just very tight and very well told. And honestly, I forget. I think the movie was a little over 2 hours, 2 hours and 15 minutes, something like that. So it's a little bit longer, but it flew by. I mean, it gets you gripped right away. It kind of brings in scenes and recaps from Civil War.
Is Bucky in it?
No, not in this movie.
Oh, nope. Can I ask you a quick question here?
Yeah.
All right. You saw the movie, so I've already heard from somebody I work with that there is like Bucky in this.
There's Bucky in this?
Bucky is in this, and he's playing a character called White Snow?
No, I don't know anything about that.
Okay, that was supposed to be the only... Was it a credits thing, or Bucky? Okay, maybe somebody...
Don't look it up and spoil it for people if it is, but I'm saying no. I'm no comment on any of that. Bucky.
Oh,
you
just no comment.
Yeah, Bucky is not in the movie. Bucky Barnes, you're talking about the Winter Soldier, right?
Oh, it's Snow White, not White Snow.
Snow White? Yeah, there's definitely no Snow White in this movie either. But, I mean, this movie switches from, like, high-tech to jungle to... They're rightfully calling this kind of a a new take on a James Bond movie in a way, even though it's like James Bond with superpowers, because the tech and gadgets in this thing are
White Wolf.
Okay, yeah, I don't know. I didn't see anything about
that. Does that make sense?
Well, I understand what you're saying, yeah, but I don't know anything about Bucky being in this movie, so.
Okay.
Yeah, so we'll leave that there. Google at your own risk, because you don't want to spoil anything.
So,
but
now, how did, this is my question here, how did Black Panther get the symbiote? Isn't that what he's wearing?
No, it's not. It's not. It's what he's wearing is high tech craziness.
I saw that in the trailer. It's
awesome. I mean, that's what it is. It's amazing tech that they use in this movie, and they show you how it works, because what we've seen so far of Black Panther has been him putting on a suit. Basically, he wears this suit under his clothes, and then he puts on a helmet, essentially. What you see in this movie gets upgraded by 1,000. I mean, it's amazing the way the tech works. And I mean, there's all sorts of crazy stuff in this movie that I don't want to say too much and spoil it, but definitely go check it out. It seems like most people are, because this thing is just killing it in the box office. And, you know, I think most people have been waiting for this for a long time. I'm going to be honest. I wanted to see it, but I know very little about the Black Panther character. I've never really read any of the comics.
Me neither. I don't read comics.
Yeah, I mean, I've done a little reading about him and seen him pop up in different storylines for other things like Civil War and some of those other things, but I've never sat down and read a run of Black Panther comics. So I didn't know a ton about the character and his backstory and everything else. Just a vague idea, roughly, you know, what it's all about. But it's pretty awesome. The fight scenes are amazing. Just so much fun stuff. So go check out Black Panther when you guys get the chance. I'd love to talk.
I'll see it when
that.
It comes out on video, like I always do.
Yep, absolutely.
I only get to see kid movies when I go to a movie.
Yeah, that's true. But you'll get to see the Incredibles.
Kids. Oh, yeah.
You will see the Incredibles, that means, so that's a good thing.
And I'll be up for that.
That's right. Well, I think it's about that time where we need to talk a little bit about Gonna Geek. So as you guys know, we are very proud members of the Gonna Geek Podcast Network, and this week we're going to talk about actually the official Gonna Geek show. Now,
what?
Yep, this is episode 227, titled Gonna Be a Big Week in Space, and their episode breakdown, it says it was
Hold on. Before do the episode breakdown, can I do this real fast?
Yeah.
Because it has to do with space a little bit, but I want to go, Flash! Savior of the universe. Oh, okay, go ahead.
That's a throwback.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, so the
they need to do a new Flash Gordon movie. There we go.
Yeah. Maybe. I'm surprised they haven't. Maybe they're working on it, but
it works. I mean, they could get Johnny Football to play Flash.
Yeah, right. He's not doing anything else right now, so.
No. Sorry, I seg blocked you segment blocked you or something.
Seg block. Yeah, no, but episode 227, going to be a big week in space. They say it was a very big week in the world of space this week. And the crew run down all of these highlights and, in parentheses, you know it's a big week when even Chris talks about a space-related news point. Non-space related news points include a Pixel 1 lawsuit and Steven defending Apple. The most important part, now this isn't in there. This isn't in their information, their copy they want us to read to plug their episode. But the biggest reason you need to go check out the official Gonna Geek show is, number one, it's a good show. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
You know, it's the two... Well, three basically top people in the Gonna Geek Network on their podcast here with Chris.
I like how you started out too. So which two were
I was thinking Steven and SP were kind of the heads, but Chris does quite a bit with the network too. So it's really all three. But the reason you want to check it out, if you're not already listening to
it, at Digital Suit Podcast.
Yes, yes. Yeah, well, we find out that SP has beef with Digital Soup. A little late to the party, are we, Adam? But But we find out SP has beef with Digital Soup a little bit.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah, the main reason you want to listen to this episode in particular is because none other than Digital Soup, the three of us here, make a nice appearance on the show where they kindly asked and we let them use a segment of our show from a few weeks back when we talked about the budget Apple iPhones that are coming out, rumored to be coming, and it spurred a discussion for them on their show. And so we do make an appearance on their show, some clips, and they have some things to say about that. So go check it out, though, in all honesty. Go ahead.
I was going to say, it's very reminiscent of Mystery Science Theater 3000. They would listen to us, and if check out their video feed, ladies and gentlemen. Go to their YouTube channel. It's hilarious because, I mean, the whole time that we're talking about the iPhone 8, SP's there holding his phone up, pointing at it. Steven Jean-Drew is just doing some type of Canadian faces. And then
I haven't watched baseball. It.
What? Helicopter baseball? Whatever. So, and then Chris was over there just, you know, since he's not one of the two top big ones, he was just sitting there crying.
Oh, jeez. I don't think that was the case.
That's what you said, Dave. No, hey, but anyway, do we have a timestamp for our segment? So if people just wanted to listen to Digital Soup on Gonna Geek,
I don't actually. It's kind of in the middle of the show. Definitely, though. I mean, I do say that in jest that, you know, the reason to listen to it is just because of Digital Soup. Not true at all. I mean, it's fun. If you listen to us, you've already heard the segment that we talk about, but you can hear some different discussion about it on their show. But the Official Gonna Geek Show is a great place to go every week and check that out. They do have their live feed. You can find that over at geeks.live, I believe it is.
I think so. It sounds like it.
But just go. You'll find everything over at gonnageek.com, which is the main site for the network, and you'll find their show and tons of other shows out there as well about all sorts of different topics in the world of geek culture, tech, and all that kind of stuff. So go check them out this week. They are a fun show, even when Digital Soup isn't on there. And thanks so much to Official Gonna Geek for reaching out and letting us be a part of your show, even though we weren't there in person. It was still kind of cool to hear a clip and hear what you guys had to say about the story we talked about. So glad you guys are listening. We do really appreciate that. So with that, I think it's about that time. There we are.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't sure if he was going to play.
It is time for the weekly garnish.
There we go. I wasn't sure if he was going to actually give us some music for the garnish because he's been kind of a space case all night today. But yeah, you have.
Shows up at,
he just laughs at me, but you have.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, what I wanted to throw in here this week as our weekly garnish, because Black Panther is out in theaters now, and it's a character I realize that for a lot of people, they may not know a lot about this character. So I found this article. It's over on vulture.com. You can find similar articles all over the place. I've seen quite a few of them, but it's a link to an article showing the 5 Black Panther comics to read before you see the movie. Now, for a lot of people, they maybe just went and saw the movie anyways.
Like you.
Yep, I did. But still go check this out because it's going to give you a great list of places to get started if you want to know more about Black Panther, more about that character's history. Some of the stuff you saw in the movie might make more sense once you see this, once you read through some of these. The list that they give on this site on Vulture, real quick, I'll just read the titles. Is first off, there's called Black Panther Epic Collection, Panther's Rage, and I'm still playing. Come back to us, Adam. But this one, but
what a dork.
So you've got Black Panther Epic Collection called Panther's Rage. It's kind of a 2-for-1. Next up, they've got Black Panther by Jack Kirby, Volume 1. Following that, Black Panther by Christopher Priest, The Complete Collection, Volume 1. Next up, Black Panther, A Nation Under Our Feet, Volume 1. And lastly, Black Panther, World of Wakanda. And so a great, great source of, you know, a bunch of different stories in the Black Panther universe. So you can find out more all about that character. So I figured what better time to throw that in than right now when Black Panther is hot in the theaters. And so go check that out if you're interested, because I know I'll be reading some of these. I've got them added to my Comixology already, looking to pick them up as I go. So
the world is a Wakanda.
Well, that's one thing I need to say. In this movie, Black Panther, obviously it's set in Africa. It's, you know, very heavily influenced by like African tribal music, things like that. And if you're a drum or percussion fan, this movie is fantastic when it comes to the music and soundtrack, because so much of it is that African cultured, you know, drumming and tribal stuff.
So Animal would love it.
Well, I don't know if Animal loves that style of music, but I know for me as a drummer, there's so much different intricate stuff happening, but it does such an amazing job of just bringing up the tension and bringing you back down and relaxing and just taking you on this audio journey while you're watching this film. The music is fantastic as well.
So definitely, yeah, check that out. For everything else, Digital Soup, you're going to want to head over to digitalsouppodcast.com where you can find all of our links to our social media. You can subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or Android or any other major platform. You can listen directly on the site, and you can see some of our other articles, because we have more than just these shows on our site. We've got some reviews.
Spit it
out. Got some other great articles on there, so definitely check that out. Like I said, subscribe, tell a friend, and leave us a review and interact with us. We'd love to hear more from you. So from all of us at the Digital Soup Podcast, all of you listeners, thanks a lot and have a great week.
Absolutely. Take care, guys.
Later, Kung Fury Gators.
Nice. Adam, we want you to take your own advice there. And, you know, we said you just told people we'd like you to interact with us. We kind of would like you to interact with us too on this show.
Earth to Dave. Earth to, you there, Dave?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, geez, that was so weird. I lost everybody. So is it just me?
Apparently
can
so,
you,
yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Hello? Okay,
cool. Labor from children you have used.
Well, I guess we got Adam too.
I don't know. Everyone went silent. Yeah.
Yeah, that was weird. All right.